Pray for you. You need it. No, I'm kidding. Father, we thank you for Tim. We thank you for all that he is to this church family and all that he brings. And Father, we just pray that you would just use him to speak into our hearts and just bring a brilliant and relevant word to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. So last time I had the pleasure of standing up here and speaking was back in January, I think, and it was absolutely freezing, and I had to put my coat on to come up here. So I thought I'd just invert everything and bring in loads of good weather so I could get shorts and flip-flops out. I noticed the entire worship team are in shorts as well, so yeah. So this evening I'm going to be talking about faith. So we're going through this short sort of mini series on the Mariner's values. So there are three sort of categories: the up values, the in values, and the out values. And this is the third and final week on the up values. So we heard Freya talking about hope 2 weeks ago, and I think last week Seb was speaking on holiness. So I get faith, lucky me. So I thought we could start with some audience participation. So does anyone want to give me a definition of faith, or what faith means to them? If no one says anything, I'm going to pick on Tom. So, trusting someone or something fully, yeah? Any other takers? No? Okay. I think faith is a word that's used quite a lot. And it can mean lots of different things. It can mean something quite deep, or it can just mean something quite simple. So one of the things I was thinking of earlier, I've been watching a bit of the cycling that's been on the TV recently. And while I was cycling home from church, I was sort of picturing what it would be like if I was just in the peloton. I was imagining, you know, I would need an awful lot of faith that the person in front and the person to the side aren't going to just crash into me and send me flying. And I don't have a particularly high threshold for pain, so I would not like to be falling on the road because of someone else's mistake. I was also having a look out in my garden and thinking, oh, maybe I'll get some apples this year in my apple tree, but I don't know. It's going to be a bit of faith as to whether the bees are going to pollinate it and whether the fruit is going to grow. And the Bible talks about faith in lots of places as well. We hear that faith can move mountains. We hear about people who had lots of faith and also people who really didn't have any faith at all. And often they were the same people. And then Hebrews 11, which is sort of a hall of fame of people of faith, it starts with the words, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So at its most basic, we might define faith as a sort of belief in God, a belief that he exists. But really, I think, and this is probably sort of the extent of a secular understanding of faith. You know, people say, oh, do you have a faith? And all they probably mean by that is, do you believe in God or do you believe in a higher power? But I think Christian faith is a lot more profound, a lot deeper, and a lot more beautiful than sort of this simple sort of surface layer definition of faith. Now, if someone has a really challenging job to do, say you've been set a task at work and you're not sure if you can do it or not, someone might say to you, oh, don't worry, I have faith in you. They don't mean by that, I believe you exist. I'd have thought the fact they're talking to you probably implies they believe you exist. What they really mean is, I trust that you can do this. I've not seen you do it yet, but I trust it's going to happen. And that's basically the same with God. Having faith in God isn't just believing that he exists. It's believing that he can do all that he says he can do, that believing his promises, believing what he's told us. It's this confidence of something that hasn't happened yet, as the writer of Hebrews says. Faith assures us that he exists, yes, but it also tells us that he's revealed himself to us, that he loves us, that he's going to keep his promises. that he'll never leave us or forsake us. The conviction is that our future is guaranteed. So faith is not just this belief that something exists. But what does it look like in practice? So I'm going to talk about sort of two aspects of faith this evening. The first one, probably hard to put into practice, but hopefully quite sort of simple and straightforward. The second one might be a bit trickier, so bear with me with that one. And then I'll try and finish off on a bit of a lighter note with some top tips for sort of increasing your faith. So the first of my points is about giving up control. So as I said already, Hebrews 11:1 mentions hope. It says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And as I said, Freya spoke about hope a couple of weeks ago. So I was here, but I thought I'd go online and go on the Listen Again page and listen to that talk again, which I can highly recommend to anyone who hasn't been on the Mariners website recently. There's basically all of our talks in the morning celebrations, and now starting with this term, we've also got the evening celebrations up there. So yeah, really great to just go and listen to some of the stuff again. And one of the things that she said about hope was it's like oxygen. We can't live without it. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, if hope is like oxygen, then I think faith is perhaps a bit like a lifeblood that keeps that oxygen pumping around your body. Our faith assures us that our hopes are true, that we've placed them in the right person, and that person is God. Now, suppose you're building a house, and you've hired a project manager to do it for you, because you don't really know what you're doing, and you're sort of sitting, I don't know, wherever you're sitting, and you're picturing, you know, a few years' time, you can see yourself on a nice cold winter's night with the fire on and just sort of huddled around, maybe playing some games with your family and just enjoying yourself in your new home. Or maybe on an evening like tonight, you're sat outside in the garden, maybe a barbecue going, some games on the lawn, and you're just enjoying this home. Now, that's sort of like your hope. That doesn't exist yet, but and you can't see it or can't physically see it. That's what you hoped for. But at the moment, all that's there is sort of rubble and dirt. And faith is what keeps you going when there are sort of roadblocks and things that get in the way. Faith gets you through those unexpected problems. Maybe one day you turn up and realize that one of the walls just isn't straight and needs to be knocked down and started again. Or perhaps the roof has blown off in a terrible storm and needs to be rebuilt. Or the electrician's quit and nobody else is around to take over. Faith is putting your trust in that project manager to sort everything out, to make sure it all works out in the end. It's the assurance that they know what they're doing and can solve all the problems that arise. But faith isn't simply battening down the hatches and waiting for the problems to be over and the end to come. It's trusting that God is with us always, and he's empowering us to continue with our mission through it all. Because we are on a mission. God has chosen us as his instruments to bring about his future, for ushering in his kingdom. So I guess in the metaphor of building the house, we've also been employed as one of the workers. The problem with sitting back and trying to wait things out is that we don't make any progress. We can't see things getting closer. Things get harder. But if we get up, put on our boots and crack on, we can slowly see ourselves making progress and getting towards that future. So it encourages us. When St. Paul found himself in prison for a number of years, he didn't stop doing what he was doing. He kept worshiping. He kept praying. He even wrote letters that became part of the New Testament. Imagine that, being stuck in prison and yet having an enormous impact on the future of the church. The problem is, though, these storms often are just too big for us. What happens when, even at our very best, we come across a problem that we know we can't fix, that we can't solve? How can you have faith when actually you know that the task in front of you is just too big and impossible to complete? faith's supposed to be an assurance, right? What do we do when all the other workers have quit and we've got to finish building this wall before winter sets in? But there's just no way we can do it on time. And the project manager's just telling us to carry on. But we know it's just not going to happen. This is where it really matters where we put our faith. Faith isn't just blind optimism. It's not just cracking on because you just expect it's all going to work out. We must put our faith in God, with whom all things are possible, and not in ourselves. We need to let God take control. God has that perspective to see things we can't. He has the power to do things we can't. Perhaps he knows that there'll be plenty of workers ready in the last week, and they can just quickly finish everything off, but only if we start right now and get it to a point where it's close enough. But it doesn't mean simply carrying on regardless of the odds. Many of you may have heard the story of the Christian who was caught in a flood, and so they climbed onto the top of their house and started praying, and they had great faith, so they thought, I know God will save me. And then a speedboat came along and offered this guy a lift and said, oh, I can get you off. He said, no, I'm okay. God is going to save me. So the speedboat went on its way. And then a couple of hours later, a helicopter came along and threw a rope down and said, quick, grab hold. I'll get you out of this flood. And the water was still rising. But the guy said, no, don't worry. God's going to save me. Now, later that night, the Christian found himself at the pearly gates. He had not done very well. So he stormed right up to the temple, right up to the throne room, barged in and demanded to see God. And he said, why didn't you save me? God's response, I sent you a speedboat and a helicopter. What more did you want? Faith in God requires letting him take control. But God doesn't take control by grabbing hold of invisible puppet strings and determining every single activity of our lives. Faith requires us to listen to God, both through his written word and the living word, and ultimately requires us to follow where he leads. So I'm going to get on to my second point. So I hope you're ready. This might not be as bad as I think it might be, but I'll just warn you just in case. So my second point, I'm going to call it faith is obedience. Faith isn't the belief that God will solve all of our problems and take away all of our suffering, at least not immediately. It's the submission to his sovereignty and the complete trust in his ways, that his purposes are good and will be realized in spite of our problems and suffering. Now, we know that God doesn't solve or prevent all of our problems and suffering. We don't need to look very far to see examples of great evil in the world. And a common question that Alpha guests raise is, why does God allow suffering? And this question is probably also a stumbling block to many non-believers. Now, I can't say I have a good answer to this question, or that I'm going to solve this problem for you this evening, and we'll go out there and there'll be no more suffering. And there are certainly times when my heart really breaks for all the evil and injustice I see in the world. Having faith isn't saying that we shouldn't be affected by these things. Have a read through the Psalms if you want to see an example of, or see many examples of, great people of faith emotionally torn by all the evil and injustice around them. But God is a just God, and he hates injustice far more than we do. Faith is saying, I don't know why you allow this to happen, but I know that it hurts you more than me. I trust that your plans and your ways are far greater than mine, and I choose to sit underneath your sovereignty and authority rather than judge it from the outside, because I know that's where I'm safest. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't pray for help and ask him for help in particular situations. God loves to give good gifts to his children and involve us in his plans. God answered many prayers. In the Bible, we see him answering the prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth and gave them a son, John. Moses petitioned God to withhold his anger from his people when they were sinning and worshipping and sacrificing to idols. And God did. Our destination is fixed. We know where we're headed, but how we get there isn't. Now, if you're walking home with a friend and your friend says to you, "Why not go down this street?" You might say, "No, no, that way is far too dangerous." Or they might say, "How about this way over here?" And you might say, "No, that's completely the wrong direction. That's not where we're going." But if they suggest a way that's suitable, maybe you'd say, "Yeah, let's go that way," if that would make you happy. And it's the same with God. There are some things we know for certain. There are promises he's given us that we know he'll keep. But there's a lot of flexibility in between. Now, as I've said, faith is putting God in control. So when we pray, we should have the attitude of, if it's your will, we ask. But you know what? Faith is giving God permission to say no. Faith is allowing God to let us suffer when, in his sovereignty, he chooses to. And this can be really, really hard. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus petitioned God not to let him suffer. He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." But ultimately, Jesus knew he was on a mission, and he trusted in God's plan. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Are we willing to be like Jesus? To let God send us places where maybe we really don't want to go, where we know we're going to get hurt? Do you think you can really come before God and say, and really mean, "Lord, all the suffering, all that I've been through in my life, all the bad things that have happened, all the bad things that are yet to happen, I give you permission. No ifs, no buts. Not just because I can see how it's going to work out for good. Not just because I know someday you'll repay me. But just because it's you." It might be one of the hardest things you ever have to say, and probably have to keep on saying. And it's not going to stop the pain. It's not going to stop the hurt. But I assure you, it can be amazingly freeing and really help to keep you focused on God. Okay, so I'm going to finish off soon, and I seem to be really early, so maybe we can have another 5 worship songs or something and get thinking. So how about some tips for increasing our faith? First of all, don't wait until disaster strikes. A pilot doesn't wait until he has engine failure before getting out his manual and trying to learn how to do a crash landing on water. We need to be deliberate and intentional about growing our faith. We need to have a plan. We need to know where we're going. Secondly, get into his word. Know his promises. If you don't know what God's promised you, how can you have faith that he'll keep them? Find something that works for you, maybe a Bible reading plan. If you're not used to reading the Bible, start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Maybe find some reading notes and commentary on one of the Gospels. Or ask Seb or Andy for some pointers. I'll ditch them in it because they're not here. Thirdly, put God on speed dial. Make sure you're praying often and about everything. Get yourself into the habit of praying. How can you let God take control if you're not communicating with him? If you don't know what he's saying? And finally, build deep relationships with other Christians. Make friends at church and discuss matters of faith with them. People who you can turn to and rely on when things get tough. And people who you can be there for when they need it. and get a mentor, someone who's further along the road than you. And this is the ideal time, because next Monday we have our Mentoring Matters workshop in the hall, which Andy was plugging this morning, and is for everyone, as he was saying. So I guess my final point, which I think I actually had earlier but skipped a paragraph, so I don't think it's totally important where your faith is right now. What really matters is what you're doing to grow it and where you're headed with it. You don't become enormously great in faith just by deciding you want to and waking up the next morning. So because you're not there right now, it doesn't matter. It's making that decision to head towards that destination, growing your faith and getting yourself ready. So I'm just going to finish with a quick prayer, and then we're going to go back to those five songs. You ready for that? I'm being told one. It's better be a long one. And also, during the final worship song as well, there will be, hopefully, some prayer ministry up the front. If anyone would like to come up for any prayer for anything, please do. Anything I've said, anything that's just happened during the week, anything you'd like prayer for, please do come forward. So, Father, thank you for all the promises that you've made to us. Thank you for your word that you've given us, that we can know you and we can know your plans for our lives. I just pray now that you'd just give us all a heart and a conviction to grow our faith, to grow closer to you, and just to step out and put ourselves in a place where we can really be used by you. Amen.